96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. President Trump is back overseas tonight, just days away from his first meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, pushback and questions about the president's approval ratings and his election commission. We're at the political roundtable tonight. My guests are Dr. Niambi Carter, political science professor here at Howard University, James Wright, political reporter at the Afro-American newspaper, and Niels Lesniewski, senior Senate reporter with the Roll Call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. Let's get right into it. Niels, I will start with you. What are we expecting from this meeting between President Trump and President Putin?
Well, I'll start with what we're not expecting.
Okay.
We're not expecting President Trump to be bringing up the issue of election interference by the Russians in 2016 in the United States. It's being sort of telegraphed that this is a meeting that's going to be about shared issues, but there hasn't been a whole lot of detail from the White House as of yet. It's now past midnight in Warsaw, where the president is at the moment. As to what exactly Putin and Trump may be discussing. But I think that certainly if nothing comes out of the meeting, that will be the most interesting development because we don't expect that there's going to be any sort of big announcements to come from it. And yet that lack of news may be
the big announcement. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just find that really, really fascinating. Maybe the big photo ops that's been suggested today will come, or the best photo op for the president will come from Warsaw, from Poland today when it comes to, you know, the optics. But, you know, how strange is this, Dr. Carter, that we don't expect, as Neil suggested, that there won't be any mention of the meddling in the U.S. election?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's strange given this administration and how it's approached this relationship with Russia and perhaps Russian interference. I mean, even going so far as to say this was Obama's fault in the last few weeks. I mean, I think this is par for the course, right? There's been no agenda released. And I mean, I think we'll see after this meeting what Trump has decided about the way forward with Russia or his other European or our other European allies. I mean, there are other relationships that could be potentially brokered or repaired in Warsaw. And so we'll see how that looks when it all shakes out. But we won't know anything until they decide to tell us something.
James, why should we care?
Look, let me tell you what's going to happen when Vladimir Putin and President Trump get in the room to talk. Putin is going to do all the talking and Trump is going to do all the listening. Trump wouldn't even know what to say to him. You know, Putin is a seasoned, even though nefarious, statesman. And Trump is just a business guy who just happened to win the presidency with an asterisk by that. So, you know, I don't expect, like Dr. Carter, you know, just said, I don't expect nothing to come of it because Trump doesn't know anything.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that because to date, the president has not admitted to or acknowledged, I should say, that there was any Russian interference, even though we've had 17 intelligence agencies. We've had members on the Hill from both parties admit, key members, that there have been some kind of shenanigans going on. And yet when you talk about his election commission now asking all of the states to submit this information, suggesting that there has been some kind of shenanigans within the U.S. voting system. You know, what's going on here? Isn't he supposed to be the new state's rights president?
Harold Fisher, Donald Trump won the election. He got the electoral votes he needed to be president.
So then why is this such an...
Because he didn't win the popular vote. This is a vanity project. I mean, as a political scientist and as a person who observes, right, political media, we know there are very few cases of voter fraud. And most of what we see, and this has been reported from Columbia University, from the Brennan Center and other sources, that most of what we have when we call it fraud are administrative mistakes. Those kinds of things. We're not talking about people walking away with ballot boxes or dead people voting. And that's the kind of stuff that they would lead us to believe is happening. But in I think in 1 year between 2002 and 2005, there were only 24 cases of federal election fraud. And then the kind of information that they're asking states to furnish, I think, is the bigger problem, because they're not telling states what they need your partial Social Security number for, your electoral history, your date of birth, your partisan ID. They're not telling them why they need that kind of information. I know at least Maryland said, we're not even sure if it's legal for us to provide that information to you. So I think there are a number of questions. But I mean, we know these kinds of investigations, when they come up, are usually used to further push out marginalized voters. Right. So it's going to push out people who are already perhaps trepidatious about approaching the electoral system. So that's blacks, that's immigrants, that might be newly returned citizens who've just gotten their voting rights reinstated. That's all kinds of people, the elderly, right? Those are the people that are more at risk in this kind of witch hunt, right? Because there's really nothing here. He won. He just doesn't like the fact that he didn't win the popular vote. And I also think this is an attempt to push out those voters, blacks and other racial and ethnic minorities, and newly enfranchised persons from participating in the electoral system.
Niels, you were nodding your head.
It seems like aside from sort of the substance, it seemed like it was a very sloppy way of going about requesting this information, to just send a blanket letter to Secretary of State's offices with a generic request for every state. Meant you were going to run into this problem immediately, where some states say, well, we can't furnish this under our state law. The Social Security numbers are protected. Or in some states, Virginia doesn't even have partisan registration. So how are you going to determine someone's voter ID in a state where you don't register by party?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Political Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week, including what the president is doing overseas. We're talking about the election commission that the president has created to get voter information related to his win, some could argue, and certainly the election last year. Also going to be talking about some of the other political stories. But let me go to the phone lines real quick. Let me go to Israel, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Doing just fine.
My comment is basically all that's irrelevant at this present time, just to me. Like, if he had the interference, he had the interference. That's the distraction. The bigger picture is Putin, not Putin, but that gentleman over there, and what's that, North Korea? That is should be the biggest agenda, because of the simple fact, if we end up having to go to war with them, China and Russia is going to back them, not us.
Thank you so much for making that point. That's very interesting. As we know, UN Ambassador, U.S.'s UN Ambassador Nikki Haley was at a UN security meeting called by South Korea and Japan and the U.S. She had some very, very strong words about North Korea. Is this a new Cold War?
I hope not, because the Hermit Kingdom, the United States could obliterate North Korea with no problem. The issue is the geopolitics of this. If you get into a conflict with North Korea, you have to bring in China, which has a huge army and is a nuclear power. And as the gentleman said, Russia will be forced to take sides. So North Korea is definitely a problem, but it is those who back North Korea that's the real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I think it's the expectation, right, from us who don't know what they're going to talk about, that this will be discussed, since this is developing in the time that they're both in the same space. So who knows? I mean, I think there's some suggestion, or at least belief out there, that President Trump will use this time to speak with Putin about perhaps getting China and Russia on board with trying to bring North Korea back to the table and to de-escalate the situation as opposed to trying to go to war.
Well, but can this situation be de-escalated? I mean, certainly we are not. You know, when you're talking about, you know, North Korea, we are not talking about a situation that can be explained so much. With Kim Jong-un, who is just, I would hate to say, you know, crazy, but I would say certainly unpredictable, mm-hmm. to say the least. And, you know, one could argue if you don't want to be ignored as a player in world politics, you know, why weapons? Why not talk economics? While their economic system is not what their neighbor South Korea is, they've got enough people to power it. But instead, we're talking about a dictator who is really unpredictable. So, you know, we're just kind of all over the place, and it's a very complicated situation. Russia, China, like you said, the U.S., and of course, South Korea and North Korea. So who knows? I want to go back to the phone lines. Janine, I believe, calling from Ashburn. Janine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Janine, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about all things politics this week, some of the big political stories during the course of this week. I want to talk about something else. Garnering sympathy for the media may not necessarily be easy when you're talking about this. But one of the things that we have seen over the past couple of months is that the White House briefings in some cases have not been videotaped. They've not been live, sometimes just audio and sometimes not at all. What's going on here? Should the American people be concerned that we're not seeing the daily briefings? I'm concerned because
it's concerned. I don't know how many people actually tune in on a day to day basis, but I think the idea that it's not there or it's being disallowed should be concerning, because I think this has been this White House's general posture toward the media, which is to have this adversarial relationship. And it's not quite clear why that is, in that, I mean, the media is going to be critical. They love you when they love you, and they don't. But their job is to report. And I think, you know, they're called the fourth branch of government for a reason, because they are significant, and they don't just report on what comes out of the White House without a critical eye. I mean, they have to do that. And I think the White House views any kind of criticism from the media as an affront or some kind of shot across the bow, instead of people who have a responsibility to the public and not to the president. So I do think the people should be concerned. But at the same time, I think the White House should be concerned, right? They have an opportunity to use the media in particular kinds of ways that they're not taking advantage of by doing this kind of stuff. So I think this is just another example of people who don't understand statecraft and don't understand governing in a real way.
You know, I was very concerned several months ago, Harold, when the president of the United States said that the media is the enemy of the state. That was a very powerful negative statement that should not go unchallenged. It should be challenged. I was just outraged at the fact that you have those press briefings without the cameras being there. The purpose of that is to provide information to the American public through the reporters. And it's an excellent opportunity, if you had a better press secretary, to to push Mr. Trump's policies. But they've blown that chance.
You know, one of the things that comes up is that when people ask substantive questions, and that happens every day when there is a briefing, there are people who ask substantive policy questions. And those questions often, if you listen carefully for this, because this is usually the part no one's actually listening for, those questions often get taken back. They will say, we'll follow up with you later. They often don't have the answers at the ready to the position, to the question of what is the president's position on this or issue or that issue or policy question that's going on. And so that sort of lends itself to spectacle, which some of this can be probably attributed to the fact that you don't know if a briefing is on TV, if the president himself might happen to be watching the briefing on Fox News as it's happening and tweet something that contradicts what Sean Spicer says as he's saying it. But that seems entirely possible, given what we know about the president's television watching habits.
Well, one of the things that I think that's interesting, because Dr. Carter made an interesting point, the public may not be watching these briefings in total. But when things happen in these briefings that becomes newsworthy, that is the reason why it is so important. And I'll talk a little bit more about that because I've got to take a break because I want to finish that point. Also, I want to talk to Will calling from Howard County. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the political roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. I'm going to talk about Chris Christie, too, on the beach, CNN and the president, and also the horrific situation in New York, the murder of a New York City police officer. All of that coming up in just a bit. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're on the line, stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds.